Say it with me now. Sports are back, baby. I've been waiting for this day since March, and now that it's here, I've only got one thing on my mind. My bookie. My bookie is a home run, slam dunk, triple overtime, game-winning shot, all wrapped up into one. I love it, you love it, and that should be all you need to hear in order to start betting today. My bookie has up-to-the-minute odds on all your favorite teams, and with the start of Major League Baseball just around the corner, there's never been a better time to start playing. With my bookie, it's easy. You bet, you win, they pay. Feeling good about your team's chances this year? Be sure to check out MyBookie's World Series future bets. Nothing shows you believe in your squad like betting on them before the season's ever even begun. But why stop with baseball? Smart bettors are always looking towards the future, and in this case, that means basketball, hockey, and football. MyBookie is already accepting bets on all your favorite NBA, NHL, and NFL games. There's never been a better time to start exploring the world of online sports betting. Join today and MyBookie will match your deposit 100%. Plus, they'll toss in a free $10 Major League Baseball future wager. All you got to do is enter the promo code MENACE when signing up. Remember, at MyBookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay. It is Tuesday, August 4th for Patreon subscribers. And it is Wednesday, August 5th for the rest of yous. Welcome to Menace to Sports. This is our last week of one episode a week. We are kicking it up, ramping it up, whatever you want to call it, next week. Back to two episodes a week. Really excited about it. Already have the majority of the content written. Just really spent the quarantine studying some college football teams. And now I want to go through them. Want to talk about what I think of them, where I think they're projected to be. And obviously the cool thing is, with COVID and the quarantine and not no spring ball, no practices, all, you know, for the 2 months or 2.5 months, it's going to be interesting to see who is going to thrive in that scenario, right? All this chaos with college football. Just will there be a season, conference only, maybe conference plus one, no more, a couple rivalry games that are going to have a hiccup. Will Ohio State play Michigan in the first game, second game of the year to make sure they get it in? So much going on, so different than a normal year, and you're going to have some people that thrive and some people that absolutely fall off and slip and trip and fumble the ball per se. So it's going to be really cool to see who does it, who's going to thrive. And we're going to find out here in a short month, probably month and a half, maybe, waiting on the schedules to come out. I waited to put this episode out for Patreon subscribers because I was waiting on the Big Ten. They were supposed to put out a schedule, and apparently it's not going to be today, or it's going to be like a Governor DeWine, a thief in the night. In the middle of the night, they might put out the schedule so no one can get pissed. But really excited for this episode. Going to talk a lot about current events and some of the stuff that's going on. And then I had to break down Clemson, right? That had to be the next team. Ohio State, Clemson are the two hands-down favorites to play for the national title. Obviously, the full season is yet to be played, and it never works out the way you think it's going to. But they're both loaded. Both loaded, both star quarterbacks. So Clemson was the next one. So at the end of this show, the second half of this show, that'll be available on Patreon for $2.99, we will talk a little bit about Clemson, and we're going to get into that every episode, breaking down a team. So we'll talk more about that as we get in the episode, but enough preview. Let's get to the show.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State. Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
No man is more important than the team. No coach is more important than the team. Team, team, team.
What a hit, Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Did you push yourself to be great today? Did you do it? If you didn't do it, you lost today.
Don't let that beat stand in the way. Go away.
All right, welcome, episode 107, Menace to Sports. I'm going to start off, because this show, those that remember, those that have been day one, have been riding with the show since day one, this show is not just a sports show. It mostly is a sports show, but it's also has a little twist of some real life stuff. Obviously, we did a lot of stuff with the Black Lives Matters, the riots, the racial injustice during the quarantine, and we've hit pretty much all topics. And this one came out, and though it was fake news, it still is evidence that I want to talk about it. Blake Griffin, I tweeted it, and a couple people were like, "That's fake news." I know it's fake news. There's a graphic that some sports media company put out. Blake Griffin has to pay almost $300,000 a month in monthly child support. The reality, I guess the truth of the matter is he pays like more like $35,000 a month. So it's not an exorbitant amount of money, right? Only 400 grand a year that woman just made off of Blake Griffin. And I just was thinking about it. I'm like, that's absurd, right? Why would anyone, man or woman, be given $400,000 a year to parent one child? Why? It makes no sense. Imagine being a 2020. Imagine being an equal rights advocate, a strong, independent woman, and then trying to make an argument that an act of consensual sex that produces a child gives that woman the need for 400 grand a year. It's not about the kid. He can provide for the kid. He can buy him all the clothes in the world. He can buy the kid his first car, pay for his college, et cetera, et cetera. He can do that for his child. Why does he have to pay the kid's mom so she can do it? I'm confused. The whole system is confusing. Why does he have to pay the mother to give the kid something? Can't he just give the kid something? I don't understand it at all. I want to know where the feminists are. She can go be a successful woman and provide for that child. And or he can provide for that child. Why the fuck does he have to pay her so she can buy the child things? Can't he just buy the child the things? Why is it his job to take care of her? He should have to take care of the kid. It's 2020, right? Is it not? Or is this the 60s? It's absurd. Not to mention, this girl, Bryn Cameron, I'm nominating her Businesswoman of the Year, Bryn Cameron for Businesswoman of the Year. Not only does she have a kid with Blake Griffin, but she has a kid with Matt Leinart. Businesswoman. I bet she makes close to $1 million a year. Oh, wild. And other off-topic, off-sports news, a lot of these schools are now caving to the liability, right? They're caving to the liability that comes with COVID. And I live in Delaware County, Ohio. There's three people in the hospital right now for COVID. Three out of an entire county in Ohio. Three. And we're on a level 2 or 3 emergency. So these kids are not going to go back full-time to school. It's wild. And then my criminal attorney, who I've talked about before, Brad Koffel, is orchestrating a Franklin County group to sue the schools. And I asked him, even Olentangy? Because he's great friends with the superintendent here in Olentangy. And I know the answer to that. He would never sue Olentangy schools because that's his buddy. I learned that the hard way. He respectfully can't be involved. But anyways, I don't know how you guys are doing. Tweet about it. Message me. I'm curious what other school districts are doing. Obviously, I live in this central Ohio bubble because that's where my kids go to school. So I'm interested to see what everyone else is doing across the country. But another thing came out kind of off the heels of my conversation about Jim Harbaugh and recruiting, who I call Hot Dog Harbaugh, right? He threw a hot dog in his pocket on an unofficial visit. This latest one is a doozy, but it's the most Jim Harbaugh thing maybe I've ever heard. In 2017, there was a 5-star offensive lineman, Isaiah Wilson, considered to be a Michigan lock, ended up signing with Georgia. And people were like, what the hell happened? The kid came out in a podcast or interview this week and said that the reason he flipped is because Jim Harbaugh wore Jordan football cleats on his home visit and he would not take them off. And so he scuffed up his parents' hardwood floors the whole visit. I'm like, what is wrong with this guy? And I have to ask the Michigan fans, because I get messages from a lot of Michigan fans who don't necessarily like the Ohio State bias of the show, but they love the show. I have to ask you, Wolverine Nation, are you done with this goofball yet? I played golf the other day with one of my son's friend's dads, right? One of the baseball teammates' dads. Huge Michigan fan, Michigan grad, and his sentiment was, Harbaugh's got to go. I've had enough of him. He's got to go. Every Michigan fan I know or talk to is done, out. Got to get Harbaugh out of Ann Arbor. Not only can he not win a big game or beat OSU, he's just a fucking weirdo. Like, how can you have a weirdo like that as your head coach that also doesn't win? If he won a lot, you'd be like, yeah, he's weird, but he wins. He can't beat Ohio State, win a bowl game, beat a top 10 team, can't do shit. Just wild. Another thing that came out, I'm sure everyone saw this, is freshman Brady Feeney, seriously ill at Indiana with COVID-19. And it's really a sad story, and hope, you know, he's recovering, I believe, and that's good news. But this COVID impact, just looking regionally in the Big Ten right now, is kind of going wild. And I know I saw Taraja Mitchell, the linebacker at Ohio State, posted that they scheduled me for in-person classes. These people are crazy. He said, you're going to see me in a full-on hazmat suit. But Rutgers, my gosh, they have like 8 million people with COVID right now. Apparently, they had 5 confirmed cases. Then they had a huge party on campus. Then it doubled to 15. Now it's up to like 30 players, some staff members. It's just running rampant. And I've had people ask me, do I think that will mean no football in the Big Ten? Absolutely not. The day the Big Ten cancels football because Rutgers can't play is the day hell freezes over. They may cancel Rutgers' season, but not everyone else's. Not a chance. So this COVID impact is huge. And if you didn't see it, the top returning receiver in the Big Ten, Rashad Bateman from Minnesota, just announced he will forego his season for the NFL draft. Think about this now. We're setting a hell of a precedence. And we're going to get to some other opt-outs in a minute. I saw Marcus Gilbert, who played for us at Florida, is going to opt out of his NFL season. Totally different. He's an employee. But Rashad Bateman says he's going to opt out of this football season. And I'm confused why. Is football going to increase his chances of getting COVID? Is he going to stay quarantined forever? Is COVID going to go away for next year when he's in the NFL making money? I don't get it. Would him getting COVID hurt his chances to get drafted? Absolutely not. I mean, he was the Big Ten leader returning with 1,219 yards. He was the Big Ten's best at 20.3 yards per catch, one behind Chris Olave with 11 touchdowns. I mean, he was a force, one of the two-headed monsters in Minnesota, and now he's opted out. Really bad deal for PJ Fleck, and I don't agree with it. I really don't. I don't know what he's afraid of. I don't know what playing. It seems to me like the kid didn't want to play and just wanted to have a good NFL draft stock, so he said, this is a good excuse. Just absurd. I don't get it. I can't imagine a lot of players will do it. I know a bunch of the Ohio State players like Sean Wade and Justin Fields were asked about it in a press conference, and both of them kind of shrugged it off like, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about playing football and getting better. And that's what it should be. And in other news, if you didn't see this, you should. And if he doesn't get fired, I'll be shocked, because it is cancel 2020. Cancel culture, baby. TCU and Gary Patterson. Goodbye, Gary Patterson. The entire TCU football team, including one of their players, walked out of a team meeting this morning or yesterday morning after head coach Gary Patterson said the N-word with a hard E-R. A hard E-R, because I guess he was talking about the music and he was referencing the word, and I get it, it's just a word, but that's, I don't know how these coaches are tone deaf. Dabo Sweeney, Morgan Scally, Danny Pierman, Gary Patterson. Like, what are we doing? And the next question is, cancel culture warriors, is Antifa going to come and tear down his statue? Gary Patterson has a statue at TCU. You know that, right? Are they going to tear his statue down? He's like the slave owners, right? And we're going to get more into slave owners in a minute, because boy, I don't know how no one's talking about this next topic. So is Gary Patterson going to get a statue taken down? Because he should, right? Oh, but I'll tell you what I'm most excited for in September outside of college football is 54-year-old Iron Mike Tyson is going to box 51-year-old Roy Jones Jr. I was talking to Braxton Miller yesterday, and I said, we should throw a big watch party with social distancing, with COVID restrictions and masks, but throw a big watch party for that fight, because it's going to be awesome. Also, in the thick of the night, Lamar Thomas took shots at Bobby Petrino. If you don't know Lamar Thomas, let me give you his history. Well, first, what he tweeted. He tweeted, Bobby P in a mask, baby. Got to be hard to disrespect everyone in this gear. Bobby Petrino is known for being a huge fucking asshole. Huge douchebag. Just an egocentric, an asshole. A maniacal asshole. But Lamar's history, he was an icon at the U back in the day. If you don't know about him, Google him. Third round pick, played in the NFL for 8 years, and went on to become a color commentator until this, which I'm going to play for you. He was announcing, commentating the Miami FIU game. And I think it was like 08 maybe. That Miami FIU game, he was announcing it when a brawl boat broke out. And Lamar had this to say about the fight.
You come into our house, you should get your behind kicked. You don't come in the OB playing that stuff. You're across the ocean over there. You're across the city. You can't come over to our place talking noise like that. You get your butt beat.
So that's what he said. You come in the OB, which is the Orange Bowl, And disrespect us, you get your butt beat. And of course he got fired for that. This is even pre-cancel culture. And I think it's absurd. I mean, he was just having fun talking about and why anyone would think any different about Lamar Thomas, like one of the OGs of the U, like back in the gold chain days. Like, it's just wild. Why they would be shocked that he would say something like that. And again, that's not relevant news, but He went on from there to work as the receiver coach at Western Kentucky and Louisville under Petrino. So he knows Petrino really well. Then Kentucky, then to the Salt Lake Stallions. And I don't know what he's doing now. I think he might just be a receiver coach. Probably same thing as me. Just training some dudes and enjoying football. But he wanted to talk about Bobby P. Hard to disrespect everyone in that gear. Just thought it was funny because Petrino's an asshole. I should have brought it up. Anyone that has ever coached for him that I know or that coached with him or that knows him in general thinks he's a huge egocentric dick. Long story short. But he's a decent football coach. Not a lot of morals in that one, though. So anyways, moving on. The big news right now is the Pac-12 coalition or whatever you want to call it. They won. A bunch of the athletes are getting together. And I mentioned this on this show back when Northwestern tried to unionize college football. Players from Northwestern said, we aren't getting paid. We deserve to get paid. And they were right. But they tried to unionize, right? And that obviously went miserably. That didn't happen. And the only thing to come of it was we lost EA Sports NCAA football, right? That's the only thing that happened. And everyone was like, ah, shit, that was stupid. So good luck to the Pac-12 players. I'm sure a lot of good will come out of this. But the coalition, they've decided, a bunch of smart kids probably from Stanford started this, I'm sure. I don't know that, but I'm sure they did because this is a Stanford, Vanderbilt, Northwestern player type of thing to do. They want safety precautions amidst the pandemic, which is very reasonable. Clearly, football is the one sport that has just decided not to disclose how they're going to keep people safe. Really well done, NFL and NCAA, and the conferences. So they want safety precautions. They also want medical coverage for 6 years after eligibility ends, because that applies to COVID, right? Fucking ridiculous. Anytime something comes up, anyone, coach, player, doesn't matter, they want to take it and be like, all right, this is our opportunity to weaponize this situation and get a bunch of other shit that's irrelevant. It's like politicians that want to pass a bill to stimulate the economy and they want to throw in 100 things that are unrelated to get them passed. Like, no, bro, no medical coverage right now. We're talking about the coronavirus. No medical coverage. We'll talk about medical coverage after the coronavirus coalition. Ridiculous. And then they want 50% of all revenue to the athletes. Like, what? So you want to become employees, for real. That's good because Cassidy Woods, receiver from Washington State, was removed from the team after coming out publicly and saying he's a part of I don't know what you want to call it. I'm calling it a coalition. A mob of players that want change. They want percentage of revenue to go to a minority coalition, which I think is all of it's great. All of it's really good stuff. All of it maybe should happen. But why are we packaging it in with a coronavirus thing where we're saying we're worried about the disease, this pandemic? Why are we packaging it at all? So Cassidy Woods got removed from the team in Washington State. Head coach Nick Rolovich said, all right, buddy, enough's enough. You want to be on this coalition and opt out of the season or get all the try to fight the man? Get the fuck out. Get out of the locker room. Clear your shit out. You're not on our team. And here's what I love about this situation is, number one, I love players realizing and using their platform. I love it. Like, I've been talking to my players about using their platform to drive whatever they believe in for years, 12 years. I've been talking about it and preaching it. But the one thing I always told my players was, you need to understand how you use it will have repercussions. Like, if you're the Pouncey twins, they were huge Obama fans. I said, understand, if you are just outspoken, huge Obama fans, and you go to the NFL and realize that the Democratic tax bracketing doesn't help you and you switch to Republican, now your platform's kind of screwed up. And I'm not here to talk politics, but lo and behold, I saw a video on Instagram the other day, the Pouncey twins on their brand new huge yacht that they bought together had a huge Trump flag flying on it. So I called that one. But you have to understand, for every action, there's a reaction. Sure, you could say you're going to sit out the entire year and want these changes, but do you think that they're going to let you just hang out in the facility and be on the team? Like, you can't be that fucking stupid, right? You're using your platform. I applaud it. I think it's amazing. Now, don't be surprised when your stance on an issue changes your stance on a team or stance with fans. If a kid came out and said, if Justin Fields came out and said, I hate Buckeye fans, do you think it'd be well received? Do you think Buckeye fans would want to sign his autographs or get his autograph? Probably not. You can't be around the team when you opted out of training table, tutoring, lifting, etc. What the fuck? You opted out. You said, I don't want to be on the team this year. And now the kid is shocked. He got removed from the team. Bro, you removed yourself from the team. Not to mention, if these college athletes want to be employees like this, I'm not talking about name, image, and likeness. I think that's great. That is saying, I have this platform. I have this celebrity about me. I would like to use that to better myself and my family financially. That's perfectly fine. That's what you should be allowed to do as an adult, right? But if you want to become an employee, you're talking 50% of revenue, then boy, oh boy, you better be ready to get fired. Because if your resume isn't lived up to, if you're a 4 or 5-star kid that can't play football, bye, Felicia, you're out. There ain't no, stay on scholarship, even if you don't play. Bullshit. If your ass can't play those first 2 years, bye-bye. We got to bring another one in. Now it's a business, right? That's what the NFL does. Is that what college kids want? Because I've seen a number of players that 3-4 years of development, all of a sudden they become a player. Think about it. We had a kid, David Nelson at Florida, was a really good player. His 5th year, didn't play shit before then. He would have been fired. Oh my gosh. If they had this employee model that these athletes are fighting for, he would have been fired. And it goes on and on and on. Reed Fragel, starting right tackle at Ohio State, fired. Would have been fired. But he wasn't. He ended up being a really good tackle for us. Because that's not what college football is. That's the NFL. Players like Reed Fragel, David Nelson, they'd be out. And you lose so many great stories of great people and great kids that it ends up catapulting their entire life into success. You lose that. Because this is now capitalism. It's not what is right by the kid. It's what's right by the dollar. So be careful. I'm all about using your platform. I think it's excellent. Excellent. But you got to understand what you're doing. All right. I want to take a quick break. Next topic we're going to talk about is Clemson. And not the team, the university. And the racial, I guess, background that is Clemson University that is not being talked about for whatever reason. So we'll be right back after a quick message from one of our sponsors. And we'll talk a little Clemson history. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about something we could all use more of right now. Sex. Great sex. Guys, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is made in the USA. It's prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor or wait in line. It's even cheaper than a pharmacy, and they prepare and ship it right to you in a discreet package, no awkwardness, and you don't need to leave the house. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code MENACE. You just pay $5 shipping. Give it a try. I'm telling you, it's big time. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code MENACE to try it for free. Blue Chew is a better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you help make this podcast possible. So be sure to use our promo code MENACE at BlueChew.com. All right, thank you for taking the time to listen to that. And we appreciate you supporting those that support us. So check them out. Promo code MENACE all over the place. So we appreciate it. But anyways, that was about 23 minutes of content so far. And the rest of this, the next 30 minutes or whatever it's going to be, is going to be all about Clemson, the Tigers, Dabo Sweeney. Gee golly shucks, Dabo. A lot has happened since Clemson has went and lost to LSU, right? They have been in, what, 5 straight playoffs, 4 national championship games. They've won 2. Clemson is on fire. Until 2020 hit. 2020 hit and it was like, hey, Clemson, shut the fuck up and sit down. Sit down for a minute. We are not going to let you be the reigning power in college football. So first it was everything. Dabo just silent on all racial injustice issues. And Danny Pierman said the N-word and it came out. A bunch of players were talking about it. And then Dabo really didn't say shit about that. Right. And then it was the Calhoun building that DeAndre Hopkins wanted it changed. We talked about it with Taj Boyd. What I don't understand is if we're going to change the name of the building, right? We're going to all this cancel culture. I'm all about it. Let's cancel all that shit. All that bad shit, let's cancel it. Here's what I want to know. What are we going to call Clemson? Now, we have to change the name of the Redskins and the Indians and all these other teams, which I'm not against. But we got to change the name of Clemson then, right? Because why? Why, might you ask? Why, Zach? Why do we have to change the name of Clemson? Well, let's talk about it. Thomas Clemson, the namesake for Clemson University. Now, this is from Clemson's website. I'm going to read it to you. At that time, the enslaved African-American population at Fort Hill comprised approximately of 70 individuals. Little is known about Clemson's thoughts concerning the Calhoun family's ownership of slaves, Clemson being Thomas Clemson. As a dutiful son-in-law, in letters to Calhoun, Clemson detailed the condition of the plantation, and he recorded the details of the lives of the enslaved at Fort Hill. For example, in a letter from December of 1840, Clemson observed that the slaves were given a four-day holiday from labor, the use of the kitchen, and additional provisions for Christmas. Man, what a place to work. In other letter to Calhoun, Clemson recounted that the slaves danced in the kitchen and kept it up until after midnight. Thomas Clemson would later write of slavery, "My experience tells me that the institution of slavery is at all times good for the N-word. No laborers in the world are so well off." He then enlisted in the Confederate Army to fight to keep slavery at 54. This man, his land is where Clemson is, right? He donated it all. They named the university after him. Huge slave owner. Huge. So we're going to cancel them, right? He fought for the Confederacy. He probably had Confederate flags everywhere. Cancel him. Why are we only changing the name of the Redskins and Indians and the Calhoun Business School or whatever the fuck it is? We need to change the name of Clemson. We'll call them the Orange Football Team in South Carolina. Take the Redskins approach, right? The Orange Footballers in South Carolina. The South Carolina Orange Football Team. Unbelievable. So I'm on board for cancel culture. Let's get rid of Clemson. Clemson's got to change. What's their name going to be? So if you listen to the show, I want you to go on social media right now. Push pause. Go on social media and tweet what the new name of Clemson University should be. Cancel culture 2020. Hashtag cancel Clemson. Tell me what the new name should be. This should be really interesting. And make sure you tag us at Menace to Sports so I can retweet it and we can get some good laughter going. The other thing I want to talk about, actually, before we get to the rest of the Clemson saga, or not saga, the breakdown, name, image, and likeness values. So this company called Open Doors did a study / projection on what the value of each player, the superstars of college football this fall, what would their value be this year if it was legal now? And some of this shit is astonishing. It's not astonishing, but it is to think that these kids could make this money. I'm going to go through the top, what is it, top eight. So number eight, Chuba Hubbard, they projected would make $42,000 this year, which is awesome. I think that's great. Kyle Trask, quarterback in Florida, would make $95,000. And now the top six are getting into six figures. Ian Book, the quarterback in Notre Dame, they project would make $183,000 this year. Najee Harris, running back at Alabama, $207,000. Sam Ellinger, the quarterback at Texas, $347,000. So that's the whatever, five through, or that's eight through four. Now we start getting into big bucks. Spencer Rattler, the quarterback at Oklahoma, $827,000 they project he could have made this year. And then the last two, number one and number two. Number two, Trevor Lawrence, they project would have made $1.23 million this year. He'd have been a millionaire right now in college. Can you imagine that? Probably have a sweet-ass crib. Post-game is at Trevor's house. Post-game party is at Trevor's house. Or if you want to go up north to Columbus, post-game party, team party at Justin Fields' crib. Because he was projected, could have made $1.34 million. The highest paid athlete in college football would be Justin Fields, based on Open Doors' projection. You talk about a sweet crib and a sweet car. Be wild. So I just think it's cool to see, like, because we're going down a path we've never been down. These kids are going to get paid for their name, image, and likeness. And so this company put out an entire study and projection on what they will make. Wild. Also, as I mentioned, I was waiting for the Big Ten schedule, which hasn't been released yet. I'm sure the minute I put this episode out, it'll be released. But some of these conferences are starting to release schedules, right? Week zero schedules, ACC. was going to conference plus one game, and the Clemson-South Carolina game got screwed up because the SEC is leaning towards all conference-only games. But it is good news for the national landscape. It is being reported that the Citadel game will remain on Clemson's schedule. The South Carolina rivalry will not. What a fucking world, man. We're going to get Clemson-Citadel. Pandemic 2020. Woo! But no Clemson-South Carolina. Let me tell you who's really happy about that. Will Muschamp. He's ecstatic. I'm sure he was calling the SEC like, hey, man, let's make this shit conference only. I can't take that Clemson L again. I'm done with that. So I'm looking through the ACC schedules, the Pac-12 schedule. I'll tell you this much. The ACC does not like Florida State. They gave them a ringer schedule. And then Boston College and Wake, they gave a ringer schedule too. But, I mean, who cares about Boston College and Wake right now other than the Fighting Halfley fans out there? The two teams that got off real easy, Clemson and Notre Dame. Real easy. They have to play each other. Outside of that, it's a cake schedule. But the absolute cupcake schedule of the ACC is North Carolina. So they have to play Notre Dame. Here's their home schedule, North Carolina, which I'm excited for North Carolina. Sam Howell, Mac Brown, let's get it, man. Home games against NC State, Notre Dame, Syracuse, Va-Tech, and Wake Forest. Away games, Boston College, Duke, Florida State, Miami, and UVA. I mean, that's the most manageable schedule in the country. So if they can beat Notre Dame, watch out for North Carolina. No North Carolina for Clemson, but they do keep Notre Dame on the schedule in South Bend. And I'm really excited about that game. We're going to do a deep dive into that as we get closer because Notre Dame is... Now, I'm not going to do what I did last year. I'm not going to jump on the Notre Dame bandwagon because I like what I see on tape against shitty teams or against non-top five opponents because they always choke. They always prove they're soft as a pillow. But all five O-linemen returning, the quarterback Ian Book, the film's not great. You look at his stats and you're like, that kid didn't have a bad year. Then you watch the film and you're like, man, you don't see what the film doesn't translate to stats. But it's a veteran at least. And in this Corona bro country right now, a vet QB is very valuable. I'm sure they will Fighting Irish that game up, but it's going to be interesting to see. So I'm excited for the next episode. Next episode, we're going to do a full schedule breakdown. And as soon as the Big Ten comes out with a schedule, we'll really talk about it and I'll go through some analytics, some big games, whatever. But I'm really excited about next week. We're going to do, I mentioned it before, we're doing two shows next week. And from now on, it'll be two shows a week. A Big Ten preview. We're going to do Big Ten superlatives, predictions, contender breakdown, analytics, back to football. So I'm excited about it. And I'm really excited to get back to it. But before we cut the public part of the show off, I want to talk a little bit about a little Ohio State recap, catch up. They announced their captains of the 2020 season. Justin Fields, Wyatt Davis, Josh Myers, Jonathan Cooper, Tuff Borland, Justin Hilliard, and Sean Wade. Here's a couple things I took away from that. One, it's going to be really hard to bench Tuff Borland. Three-time captain, it's like benching JT Barrett. How do you bench JT Barrett? And maybe Tuff will have an outstanding offseason and just be an athletic freak of nature. But if he's not, it's hard to bench that kid. Just like it was hard for Urban to bench JT Barrett and play Dwayne Haskins like he should have. It's hard to do. There's only been two three-time captains ever at Ohio State. And it's JT Barrett and Tuff Borland. The other cool thing that I think that says is Justin Hilliard's had a hell of an offseason. And that's critical because those linebackers need him to be a player. I talked about it last week. If you didn't hear last week's episode, check it out. Full breakdown of Ohio State. And the one that blew me away, and I'm still pissed about it and emotional. I already messaged the kid, but C.J. Saunders was not granted a six-year of eligibility. And that's just a shame. I know that kid. I mean, you can't have a better kid. It's not possible. I know he worked his ass off because he thought he had a chance of getting this 6 year, and it just didn't happen. So feel for CJ, reach out to CJ, tweet at CJ. I don't even know if he has Twitter, but just show him support because he's a great kid, man. And I'm telling you, he's a good little player. Buckeye Nation didn't get to see how good he was. And the other thing that came out today, Justin Fields said, I don't care when we play Michigan. I just want to play them and beat the brakes off of them. And I love it. I love it. Because unlike these Michigan players that are saying it and never have done it and probably won't do it, Justin Fields has a gold pair of gold pants. So he could say it. You got to earn the right to talk. That's what I always used to say in my room. You have to earn the right to talk. Once you do, talk away, man. Have at it. Talk a little shit. You want to get a little frisky? Have at it. You got to earn the right, though. And he has earned the right. All right, but that's going to wrap up this episode 101. what is it? Episode 107. It's going to wrap up episode 107. Just wanted to get just kind of current events. Current events and some things that I've been thinking about before we really get into next week, double episode week, and some deep dives into some college football. So really excited to get back on it. For those of you that are interested, as I mentioned before, this is going to a hybrid subscription model. You go to patreon.com/menacetosports. And if you get it on your phone, you can scroll down and click add audio link, add RSS feed, and you can add it right to your phone. So when I upload all these extra shows and full episodes for Patreon subscribers, you can literally, it just pops up on your phone like a normal podcast. It's beautiful, right? And if you have Apple Podcasts or whatever. So go on patreon.com/menacetosports, sign up. It's $2.99. So for under $3, you get full episodes. We're going to do 2 episodes a week all through season, 1 episode a week in the off season, unless it just explodes and we have to increase. I would love to do this full time. Moral of the story is, I would love to do this sun up to sundown 5 days a week. Shit, I'll do it 7 days a week, but it needs to grow for that to happen. So if you're interested, $2.99 on Patreon, under $3, great content. Check it out. And if you want the shows early like this show for an extra $2, for $5 a month, you get early episodes. So, but as always, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you enjoying the show. So I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you were educated. Hope you were entertained. And as we say, if not, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Gil Elliott. And he's got an opening. Elliott. Off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown. 85 yards.
It's so easy to be average. It takes a little something to be special, Don. It takes a little something special to be a great player.
Braxton Miller's loose. Spin move. Miller heading for the end zone.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We're going inside him. We're going outside him. Inside him, outside him. And when we get him on a run once, we're going to keep him on a run. And we're not going to pass unless our secondary comes up too close. But don't forget, man, we're going to get him on a run. We're going to go, 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 go. And we aren't going to stop until we go to that goal line. Don't forget, man, today, we're going to win.
Menace to...